Dad Radio, WMDX, yes. The family show, and you're working on a revised version of that a little bit.
Maybe.
We'll see.
6 minutes past the hour, cloudy, 65 degrees, highs in the mid-70s today.
Yeah.
Boy, it got awfully quiet.
It did.
It was all hustling and bustling a few minutes ago, and now suddenly it's quieted down.
Could we turn up the Cure again, please?
They did it just for you. They did it just for you guys.
Did you request?
I asked them. No, actually, they said, the music was blaring before, and then I said, as I was about to ask them, could they turn it down, they cut off the music.
Oh.
So I didn't... I said, you didn't have to turn it off. And they said, no, we got a bad internet connection. It's going in and out.
Ah.
So maybe that's...
our problem? Initially getting out of the program this morning.
I don't know.
Yeah.
In any case, highs in the mid-70s. And it's awfully chilly in here this morning. I didn't get my jacket out of the car.
I know.
I mean, I like it nice and cold. I wish it could be this cold.
Well, you work up a little heat eating.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
It helps.
But it's nice. The air conditioning feels good this morning. Okay.
All right.
What? Last Sunday was the hottest day ever on planet Earth. I got that coming up. I'm going to ask Brittany Merlot about this.
Why did she let that happen?
Well, it's actually quite scary, this story.
It is.
Not looking good for climate change. But, I'll get that in a little while. Mike McCabe's going to join us in a few minutes.
Well,
as he does every Wednesday.
7:35.
Yeah.
And let's finish the story that I ran out of time for.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Oh, this big buildup about not seeing color, and
we'll
always going
that.
By the character of people. Well, Republicans, MAGAs, have a hard time sticking to that. Tim Burchett, a representative out of Tennessee, had a few bad comments. Glenn Grofin also had some comments. And Speaker Mike Johnson had to come out and say, please refrain from the racial comments that we like to say in the back rooms, but we just don't want to say in public.
Yeah, we can't do that.
So let's listen to Representative Burchett and the comments he had.
Okay.
All right.
He's going to hire a black female for vice president, and that not he just skipped over. What about white females? What about any other group? It just, when you go down that route, you take mediocrity, and that's what they have right now as a vice president.
Are you suggesting she was a DEI hire?
100%. She was a DEI hire.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's one of those comments you just don't want to get out there. And it is. It's out there, and we just played it for you.
They can't help themselves.
Wow.
They don't know what to do.
No, they're just not as talented or as smart. All right, now let's get into Glenn Grothman's comment. Now, this is Cut 109. Of course, he had to say this, and he always says this, by the way. This is just a repeat of greatest hits that is currently out there on X.
Okay.
Is there anyone that you see challenging Harris that could potentially overpower, like that you think more people could get behind?
I know there are some Democrats who don't like her, and she has the obvious weakness at the border, as well as she hasn't been the most articulate candidate so far. They feel, or a lot of Democrats feel, they have to stick with her because of her ethnic background. And I'm sure there's some division there on that issue.
The ethnic background thing.
Background, questionable.
Not quite as talented, it's,
she's not articulate,
so many
really.
Ways you could say it there, Glenn. And
all coming to light, can't, can't help themselves.
I just don't think Mike Johnson is going to be able to control this one.
No?
The beginning. This is just the start of their comments about Kamala.
Well, wait till the convention takes place.
This is crazy
stuff,
right? In a few
weeks in Chicago. It'll all come out.
I understand, the venue where Kamala appeared was a last-minute thing. She had scheduled the appearance where there wasn't an expected big crowd.
Right.
But this time, of course, they had to move the venue and find one instantly and right away, and they did, a high school auditorium.
And West Allis, they had to move it to a bigger auditorium kind of last minute, too.
Yeah, And it worked out real well.
It sure did. Boy, she had fired up the crowd. They were ready for it, too.
All right. Yeah. Now, let's get to, we've been talking about Project 2025 for, I think about 6 or 7 months now. Mm-hmm. And then we also got into a little bit of Agenda 47, and that's Trump's plan he originally put out. And he narrates each one of these points.
Okay.
So we know it's in his words, and we know that he's aware of it.
He's approved it.
Okay.
He
read the script to us, and it's videotaped, and you can watch them all if you'd like. Okay, so we've covered all of that stuff.
Was he on teleprompter, or was this just off the cuff?
Probably a teleprompter.
Okay.
He didn't ad-lib a lot during these.
Ah.
I'm sure they had take after take after take.
Okay.
But let's get into what Project 2025 is really going to do. And they featured this on Morning Joe the other day, and their financial guy, Steve Rattner, went bit by bit by bit explaining what to expect if, in fact, Trump is elected president and Project 2025 is expanded and takes hold. Now, we're going to talk about the new income tax brackets. Now, this is counterintuitive. You would not think that they would do something like this. They would raise taxes on everybody with incomes, I think, under $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000, we would have our taxes raised under Project 2025. Let's play Cut 114. This is Steve Rattner on those Trump tax cuts, a revised Trump tax cut. Let's hear it.
Sure, Mika. Look, taxes are obviously perhaps issue number one on the minds of many Americans, and Project 25 is very clear about what it wants to do. It essentially wants to restructure our tax system into only two tax brackets, 15% for those earning less than the Social Security maximum, which is, I think, about $166,000 a year, and 30% for those earning above. But that would radically change how much different Americans pay. It would actually increase the amount that people making less than $150,000, less than that cutoff, pay $1,000, $2,000, $2,500. They would pay more taxes, but people above the wealthy would pay dramatically less taxes. If you earn $400,000 a year, you would get a tax cut of about $14,000. So an extraordinary shift in the tax burden away from the wealthy and toward the less wealthy. This is an even more extreme version of what Trump did in his tax bill, the TCJA, Tax Cut and Jobs Act, back in 2017 or so. And you can see here the impact of that was similarly regressive in that people at the bottom got a much smaller percentage increase in their tax cut, and people at the top got a much larger tax cut. 85% of this tax bill went to people making more than $75,000 or to business. And so essentially what this proposal would do is take this and put it on steroids.
Yeah, that's Project 2025's plan, raising the taxes of everybody pretty much under $70,000.
Why would MAGA Republicans go for this? Because they're going to get big money donations from the big corporations.
Yeah, corporations. This is the big taking.
Yeah.
They see this as an opening to finally put the nail in the coffin of public service.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want money spent on public service. They don't want our taxes spent on us.
Yeah.
They want it all, and this is their big opening to get all the money, everything they can, all at once. Now let's go to Project 2025 seeking to phase out the affordable Biden-Harris student loan repayment plans.
Ooh.
They want to get rid of that, and this is Cut 115. Steve Rattner on the Morning Joe show, wrapping it up. Let's check it out.
Project 2025 would essentially be to eliminate all of what the Biden administration did to cut the burden of student loans. And you can see here, this is broken down by education, and all the way from some college but no degree to master's program. And so in terms of the monthly student loan payments, for the people at the bottom, their monthly average student payments would go from $78 to $308. So a huge increase for those with very little college, people who don't probably have great jobs and for whom this is a big burden. And then smaller increases, but still substantial, all the way up to people who have master's degrees. So completely wiping out everything the Biden administration has done for the last 3.5 years. But let me show you one impact of what the Biden administration has done. We all know that student loan debt has been a huge problem, and it's gone up and up and up. It's gone up and up per student, and this is even inflation adjusted, and it went up under Trump. But for the first time since at least 2007, student loan debt per borrower has actually gone down for three straight years. Still really high, but you can actually see tangible progress made under the Biden administration in reducing that student loan burden.
That's right. It went down under Biden.
Right.
Dramatically, and it is continuing to go down as he, you know, relieves people of their student debt. But, you know, just thinking that a person who maybe didn't complete college, all right?
Right.
It, your payments would go up 4 times.
Wow.
No, it's just
under
stunning.
The Project 2025. Yeah,
but why would they do this? Why would they do this?
It doesn't make any sense.
Does this get more votes?
I can't imagine that it does at all.
It's crazy stuff, right? And this is all in Project 2025 and also Agenda 47. They also plan to massively decrease the number of Americans on Medicaid.
Okay.
Okay. And by the way, Wisconsin is featured in this cut. Cut 116, Steve Rattner on Morning Joe.
You're right, Joe. Medicaid, I think there's something like 90 million people on Medicaid in America, 38 million children. So you're right. It is not just some urban program for a few poor people. And what Project 2025 wants to do is put limits on how long you can stay on Medicaid, effectively kick people off Medicaid, put in work requirements, put in a whole number of restrictions that would dramatically change the number of people who are on Medicaid. So this map shows you by color coding, the darker colors being the worst hit places.
We are out of time, John. I was not paying attention to the clock.
What?
Well, anyway, he was pointing to Wisconsin.
All right.
So Wisconsin is definitely one of the worst.
All right. We're coming up, coming back with Mike McCabe in just a few minutes on the John and Gordy Show, live from Short Stack Eatery.
What's new with the weather? What's new? What's with the temperature now? What's the high?
What's the low?
Low. Mad Radio, WMDX. What is the low?
What is it? We're going to find out in just a moment. We're going to get all the latest on the weather. Brittany Merlot is standing by. But first, I need to tell you that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east and west sides, or online at verlo.com. Now, Brittany Merlot is at the EAA in Oshkosh this morning. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, you guys. How's it going?
It looks a little foggy where you are. Is
yes.
it?
You know, a little bit of fog. It's not too bad. It's mostly cloudy and this like hazy kind of smoke in the air as well. But a little crisp and chilly, I'll tell you what. The campers are waking up refreshed but cold.
That's true. It's very brisk out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand we're getting a little Canadian smoke again.
Yes,
from the
we
forest
are.
Fires.
Mm-hmm.
Is it evident there? I mean, can you tell?
Not so much yet. I think when the sun comes out, you'll be able to see it a lot easier. But right now with the clouds, it's just kind of blending in here at the moment. But, yep, that haze is definitely expected to stay here today with the winds out of the north pulling that in. Comfortable highs, though, into those mid-70s statewide. Very, very comfortable and below average. Yeah.
And we had some rain yesterday. Are we in for any rain in the next few days? How's it shaping up?
Honestly, right now, we're still looking pretty dry for the next few days. So let's hope that forecast stays true. Nice high pressure here. But that's also the reason why we're seeing some of that wildfire smoke, as that allows the air to settle to the surface. But otherwise, today is an awesome day. If you guys can make it out here to Oshkosh, anyone listening by any chance, because tonight is our air show where they actually do fireworks off of airplanes. Some drones will be flying around, airplanes will be flying around, shooting fireworks off of them. And then they'll actually have the normal fireworks show that you'd all expect. And they even end it with a bang. Like, I'm talking fake bombs going off. It is the coolest thing. You have to check it out.
You've seen this before there, huh? Is that what they do every year?
I have every single Wednesday night on this event and Saturday night. So if you can't make it tonight, Saturday night as well. But of course, a lot more people will be here. It'll be a lot more packed to get in here. But it's a show. I highly recommend it if you can.
Now, it doesn't seem like that would be all that safe to fire fireworks off of planes while drones are flying around, and then you're going to have explosions on the ground. And
Is it an airplane firefight with other airplanes?
They do that sometimes. They'll actually do like military operations, they and they'll have people drop out of the helicopters and going at each other and kind of reenact what it's like for us. So they actually do shows like that during the day. But this one at night is more for the fireworks. I believe most of them are shot off drones. But I still don't understand how that all works with the fuel and a firework coming off
works.
Of it.
That works.
But because they'll just have the wings going and they'll just be sparkling and lit up the whole time as they're shooting the fireworks off.
Well, that's pretty cool. That sounds really nice. Yeah.
Now, Brittany, I know you've been up there for, you know, 2 or 3 days, but have you heard this latest climate change news that happened last Sunday? That last Sunday was the hottest day ever on planet Earth. Have you heard this?
I didn't hear this part yet.
Yeah.
No, okay. But I believe it.
And this is coming on the heels of 13 straight months of unprecedented temperatures and the hottest year ever, scientists are saying, ever in the Earth's history.
That's right.
It's crazy.
And there a giant geyser went off and scared the daylights out of a lot of people.
At Yellowstone?
Yeah, at Yellowstone yesterday or the day before. And they kicked everybody out of some Hawaiian recreational area because of the volcanic activity. So things are really getting hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now listen to this. Listen, I just want to get your reaction as a scientist, as a meteorologist. I'll give you a little quiz here. Scientists have been tracking global temperatures for actually centuries, okay? But there's a good reason to believe that Sunday was the hottest day on Earth since the start of the last ice age. So has it been the hottest day on Earth in the last 5,000 years? 10,000 years or 100,000 years? What's your guess? John, I'll let you guess first.
5,000 years.
Okay. Brittany, do you have a guess?
What was that? 100,000? 100,000?
Yes.
Is that the max?
Yeah.
I'm going with
that. Is that your guess? That is the max. Actually, that is correct.
Oh.
They think this has been the hottest it's ever been on Earth in the last 100,000 years. So, okay. Climate change?
It's not real.
It's not real.
No, it's just a big hoax that we're foisting off on the entire world.
Okay. With all this fruit.
To get even against the oil companies. What a ridiculous thing.
Well, Brittany, enjoy the air show. Yeah. I know you will. Yep. You have
Thank
fun
you.
Out there. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds
right.
good. Have a good
all
day.
All right. Have a good day. Yep.
Enjoy the fireworks. Okay.
All right.
Good deal. It's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
All right. Let's talk again about Medicaid getting cut because of Project 2025. We ran out of time in the last break, but
there's more on this.
I do want you to at least understand what is going to happen in Wisconsin. Virginia and Wisconsin are both the deepest red states on his map, Steve Rattner's map, that will be affected by Project 2025's cuts to Medicaid. Basically, it goes away. But let's listen to the rest of Steve Rattner. Can we play that?
Would you like to start where we left off, or?
Yes, if you got it there.
Yeah, right about
here. All right,
let's
40 to 50% of people being kicked off of Medicaid in every state, pretty much, you can see that it's anywhere from 10% up to 40% all the way across the country. It would be a massive change in a program that, as you said, is absolutely central to our healthcare system and to the lives of so many people who can't afford their own health care. But it's also a question politically of whether this is really a great idea for the Republicans to embrace, because Medicaid is actually extraordinarily popular. Not surprisingly, it's supported by 90% of Democrats versus only 8 who have an unfavorable view of it. But even among Republicans, 65% of Republicans think favorably about Medicaid, and only 32% think unfavorably about Medicaid. So it's terrible policy. It also may be terrible politics for the Republicans to embrace proposals like this.
That's right. Mm. And you got to think, too, about Medicaid and farms. A lot of farms, you know, obviously after they have gone through all their expenses, they've made a profit.
Yeah.
But then they take all the expenses off of that.
Right.
And sometimes they have a negative profit. So what happens is they go on Medicaid to help supply health care for their families during those years where they're not making the profit. They're making money, but they're spending more than they're making.
Right.
So they have to get some kind of help. And Medicaid is the one program farmers in Wisconsin rely on getting.
Well, they do, because, you know, a lot of injuries happen on farms, unfortunately. Yes. I mean, it's not, you know, it can be dangerous working around all the, you know, heavy equipment and working in the silo and everything. So they need coverage. They got to have it.
They do.
Yeah.
So, you know, cutting Medicaid through Project 2025,
right.
Another bad idea. And it seems like, you know, the topics that we've talked about and Steve Rattner's pointed out are attacking what the public needs most are these safety nets, these programs that they rely on, and the tax cuts that they need, and, you know, being able to afford everyday living.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know how they, again, because we're not talking about Project 2025 enough, when people find out more and more, and people are, and Kamala, by the way, is featuring this a lot during her stump speech.
Mm-hmm. John and Gordy live from Short Stack Eatery.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's House of Excuses. The next time you need a good excuse for being late to work or forgetting your spouse's birthday, just call the House of Excuses. We guarantee that we'll come up with a good excuse for you on the spot. Our guarantee is simple. If we don't come up with a good excuse for you, we promise to give you a good excuse for not coming up with one.
There you go.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, we should probably call them about the problems, the tech problems we had this morning.
Earlier today.
It was our fault. You know?
It's all in the rearview mirror.
It is.
Move on.
It's looking back.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. We are here live at Short Stack Eatery. Weather for today, mid-60s this morning. It's cloudy out there. We'll see some sunshine later and highs around 76. And Mike McCabe joins us this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Good to have you. Wait, hang on a second. Now you can say good morning.
Good morning, guys.
There we go.
Good to have you. All right. So you're here every Wednesday, and how are things going today?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So far, so good.
So,
yeah.
You know, didn't get rained on as you walked here?
I did not.
Okay, good.
I mean, it looks like it could rain. It's just not going to rain for the next couple of days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, John, you were talking about, you know, helping out farmers that need Medicaid.
Medicaid, they rely on it on seasons where they spend more than they actually make.
Mm-hmm.
And their families definitely need it. Now we're going to talk about the general population and who's going to save us out of this mega mess that we see coming up. I mean, it's...
Who can save us? What do you mean?
Regardless of what happens with Trump either being president or losing the election, there is a party, the mega party. It's not the Republican Party anymore. It's the mega party. And I can't imagine all of these individuals changing their minds, all of a sudden just flipping and going back to the old Republican Party. And I don't know any way out of this. And what we need to do is we need to rely on generations coming up who might be angry with this or might want to see some change in this. And, Mike, you had a chapter in your book about millennials being the answer to that, and now we're seeing a millennial as vice president and apparently not the answer to this problem. Well, what's your take on it? You have on Substack, your current story is the fourth tunnel.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just... get into it that way.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I wrote a book that came out in 2014, so a decade ago now, and there's a chapter in there called Millennials to the Rescue.
Yes.
But some people who are far smarter than me, you know, put me in a position where I stand corrected.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this piece on Substack yesterday that talks about a really wonderful book called The Fourth Turning. That came out in the late 1990s, but an update, a sequel, was just put out in 2023.
Okay.
And what they basically argue, the authors, is that we go through a period of social change and transformation that plays out over the course of what they call a natural century, which is basically a human lifetime, about 80 years.
Right.
And over the course of those 80 years, there are four distinct phases. They call them turnings. Mm-hmm. And those four phases each last about 20 years. The 2023 update says we are smack dab in the middle of the latest fourth turning.
Yeah, and I've actually heard about this. Yeah.
Fourth turnings are tumultuous periods. Mm-hmm. There is social upheaval. There is really disintegration of society in many ways, followed by a phoenix moment where society sort of rises from the ashes. And you see transformation. You see social renewal. And the last fourth turning occurred because of what a lot of people call the greatest generation, the people who grew up in the Great Depression and fought in World War II.
Right.
After World War II, of course, they brought about one of the biggest economic rebirths that our country's ever seen, and a prolonged period of prosperity and social stability. That all came out of a period where things looked pretty dark.
Yeah.
The Great Depression and World War II and that generation came to be known as the greatest generation. It sort of guided us through that. Well, one of the things that these authors say is that each one of these turnings is marked by a generation that is very pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up being sort of the defining generation. They say that generation this time around is Gen Z, which is basically the teens and 20-somethings right now.
Yeah.
That's the generation that will be the equivalent of the greatest generation that guided us through the last fourth turning. And so it's today's teens and 20-somethings that really stand to be the ones who become the defining generation. It's not that they're more or less important than any other generation. Mm-hmm. It's just the timing of it, and the fact that you can see right now the signs of this fourth turning turmoil are all around us.
You're right, exactly. Yeah.
From climate change to the political polarization and the civil unrest that we see now, and people at each other's throats, and the chaos of economic globalization, all of these things are due to culminate, if you believe these authors and their theory, it's due to culminate in the early 2030s.
Okay.
And that would be the time where all of this turmoil begins to come to a final, sort of a final head, and that out of that would come renewal and what could be the next golden age for our country. I think one of the great things about history, I start out the column by saying prophecy is not otherworldly foresight. It's careful attention to history.
Right.
That's what prophecy really is.
Right.
And there's comfort that can be found in history because you see how it's cyclical. You see how the same things tend to be repeating patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the same signs that have been seen before in this country. And then I think what's hopeful is the fact that renewal is coming, and that we can get through this, and I call it the fourth tunnel because it's really the fourth time our country has gone through one of these tunnels, and there's always light at the end of that tunnel, and I'm confident that we'll find the light at the end of this one too.
As you mentioned, the tunnels are 20-year segments, and that is that's kind of generational, isn't
it? They're really 80-year segments. Broken into four phases.
So then you have that, like, a generation is, under 20.
Exactly.
So what we have now is Gen Zers, and we have Sam in the studio he's trying to figure out what he's going to do to make the change. We're putting all the responsibility
on
Sam's
shoulders.
Generation.
Yes.
It is.
No pressure, Sam, but...
Yeah.
So how do... I have a question here.
Yeah.
So how does the internet play into any of this? Because now we have instant communication globally. We can talk to anybody, anywhere, except for, maybe China or governments that have control of their own internets. Does that Does that play into any of this? Because the internet's been around for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. During this last segment, and the millennials are picking it, you know, it's been part of their world forever. Mm-hmm. So are they going to, I don't even know, how does that play into
the prophecy?
The prophecy. And, you know, we didn't have that growing up. We didn't know what was going on instantly.
And I actually think you've put your finger on one of the fundamental elements of why there is this generational change that occurs, mm-hmm. and periodically there's upheaval and then there's renewal. Older generations, the internet was quite the shock.
Yes.
And you talk about a huge impact on lives and such a huge thing to adjust to. But Gen Z has never not known the internet.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's never not known that 9/11 happened. It's never not known the phrase Google it, you know.
Right.
And for so many people, those are the kinds of things that become almost paralyzing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet a younger generation comes along that is comfortable with that, knows how to deal with it, and ends up guiding us through what can often be turmoil and social upheaval. And that's what, you know, there have been four of these over American history. And the first one culminated with the American Revolution.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
so we basically went through that whole process of four turnings in colonial America, and it all culminated in the American Revolution. The next one happened, it culminated with the Civil War. And then the renewal became Reconstruction.
Huge change, yeah.
Absolutely. The third one happened, with the Great Depression and then on up into World War II. And here we are, having gone through another 80-year cycle, and we are now seeing the turmoil all around us and the social
upheaval and everything else.
Everything. Yeah. And it's the generation that happens to have come along that is comfortable with the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
You look back all the way to the beginning of this country, there was no radio. There was no television.
Right.
Communication always changes, and it always has a huge impact on society. The internet came along. One generation that's out there right now and is coming of age is very comfortable with this entire arrangement. Older generations, maybe not so quite so much.
Yeah.
And so they're positioned to help us move through this final phase and get to a point where society can kind of refresh itself.
Well, you know, that brings up a really good point because, this generation, Gen Zs, are very used to how things are right now, having the internet communications, not really understanding or even caring about what came before because it was so backward and not quite as high tech. Now, it's that way. So what we have and what we're seeing with the mega movement is an attempt to stay back in the 60s, to go back in time, not make these movements forward. And maybe that's what's really generating the excitement from Gen Zers to make a difference and make a change.
Yeah, you know, I heard Glenn Grothman say, you were talking about him before, the congressman from Wisconsin. And I heard him say that we really need to turn back the clock to the 1960s. We need to take our society back to what things were like in the 1960s. And, of course, the problem with that is you can never go back.
Right.
It's done.
It's done. It's behind us, and it can never be recreated. And so what you have to do is be in the moment and deal with conditions that exist at this moment in time and make the best of it. And you talk to older people a lot, and you hear people say things like, you know, stop the train, I'd like to get off. Or
exactly.
Man, I think everything is crumbling, everything is falling apart, and I just don't want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gen Z has always known society as it is right now, today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
they're not going to allow this thing to go back.
And they're not going to allow it to go back,
can't.
Which is so critical when have to have a generation that understands there's no going back. We're going to forge a future that makes sense for us. And we're going to knit society back together on our terms. That's what the greatest generation did. That's what the people who were responsible for Reconstruction after the Civil War did. And that's what a younger generation will do going forward. And I think we can take some comfort in that and have faith that things can be okay, even at a time where it looks pretty dark for this country.
I also want to add that, you know, I have two Gen Zers at home, and I hear from them all the time. They're very politically active, and they're always telling me things.
Yeah.
And they're more or less apolitical at this point. They're idealistic. They see things in this black and white, and, you know, they don't see politics having an influence. They say, well, is this right or is this wrong? Mm-hmm. That's how they're looking at things right now. Mm-hmm. So we need that kind of attitude and get the politics out of it.
Yeah, I too have a Gen Z son. Mm-hmm. He's in his early 20s. He, you know, it's interesting. My insight into Gen Z is that a lot of times they don't see government as the solution.
Right.
They see individual people.
Yes. Yes.
Taking responsibility and sort of coming together collectively and figuring out ways to get solutions.
We're seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We've got to take a break here.
We do. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com. Back with more with Mike McCabe live from Short Stack Eatery, the corner of Johnson and States. In just a minute.
Is lit up by a million shining stars. I am traveling up the Edens to the land of the under 21 bars. I'm going to Cheeseland, Cheeseland, the Dells in Door County. I'm going to Cheeseland.
Oh, yeah.
Rednecks in trailers with families, and we are going to Cheeseland.
Mad Radio WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. Special guest at Short Stack Eatery is Mike McCabe, and it's Ibian House, and that's his blog on Substack at Short Stack.
There we go. Yeah, we're at Short Stack Eatery, and Mike, we want to follow up on a couple of things. You were talking about, is the name of the book Four Turnings, or what?
The original book was called The Fourth Turning.
The Fourth Turning.
And there's a sequel that came out in 2023 saying The Fourth Turning is here.
Uh-huh.
And that's the name of the newer book. Fascinating reads and both full of wisdom, but also you can find optimism and hope there too.
Yeah. I was talking to talk to you off the air, but I thought maybe this is an important thing to notice. Is that my 22-year-old always comes up before I leave for work in the morning because he's up and he's ranting. and he was talking about Gen Alpha, the younger teenagers and younger kids out there, and he's on the internet all the time, so he's getting input from them and he's hearing from them, and they feel picked on and no one's listening to them. And he says, Dad, this is what I thought, you know, this is my attitude, and now they think no one's listening to them. They think they're the most important generation. So this whole thing, I mean, it really is. And this realization that he's having is growing up. And I'm just so proud that he was able to see this happen and noticed it and brought it up to me, and I feel, you know, all warm and fuzzy inside after that.
Every American generation feels like the generations before have kind of followed things up and don't know what they're doing. And you know, I think that's one of the blessings that we have in this country is that generational churn that happens. I had the good fortune of living abroad for 2 years, and I was struck by how there wasn't a visible generation gap where I was. And people, you know, of all ages dressed the same. They listened to the same music.
But that was when you were in Africa, right?
Yeah, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa for 2 years. And there wasn't that same visible generation gap.
Yeah.
People of all generations pretty much dressed the same, listened to the same music, had largely the same values.
And what I was wondering, you know, you were talking about that, and I asked you again off the air, what about places like North Korea that are completely cut off? What are they going through this, or is this an American phenomenon?
Well, the authors of The Fourth Turning and the sequel were really studying American history.
Yeah.
And what they found was that what they were really looking at in American history was a crystal ball that could help them foretell the future because of the really distinct pattern of change, these rhythms of history that existed. And so this is they're talking about an American phenomenon, and I do think it's one of this country's great benefits or blessings is the fact that we have so much really distinct generational churn. We have these young people who are saying, you know, the older folks are even the 20 somethings aren't listening to us, you know, us kids.
Right.
And that helps our country continue to evolve and continue to move forward. And I think that's where we can rest our fate in the future.
Well, you say that everybody is listening to the same music, and you don't see any real differences. And I see that now in our society, in American society. And in fact, one of the things I've noticed, being kind of a media guy myself, is that there are so many old people like me and Gordy and everybody else out there that has gray hair and looks like they're getting older.
Yeah.
There are so many of us out there. When you go to the clubs or the restaurants, there's us. We're out there. The baby boomers are out there. And, you know, Gen Zers and millennials are just mixing in. And they don't mind. You know, it's not like all these old crotchety people are out there. They just mix in. They accept us. We're there in all the movies, right?
Yeah.
You know, the old actors are still action characters. Yeah. It's weird the way they have accepted the older generation as just part of, you know, what's going on in America.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But they also have. They also, my.
They're getting ready to push us off the edge.
Well, yes, that's true.
I think they'll take us with them. But
oh, really?
But my observation is that they are very confident about their ability to change the world. They really believe in the power of individual action. Mm. I'm not sure that they believe in the power of government action so much as they believe in the power of their own individual agency, their ability to make change themselves.
Yeah.
But that's part of what generational renewal is all about, is each generation finds its way, and every once in a while, one of those generations becomes a really pivotal one that ends up ushering us through a period of disintegration and then renewal.
Well, you're mentioning that the fourth tunnel is in this convulsion that will take place, and we have Republicans and MAGAs talking about having a civil war if Trump doesn't win. Of course, they're going to contest the election if he doesn't win, and we don't know if there will be a civil war, whether they'll take a military-ish type action, you know, militia-type action, in order to get their way in this, so we don't know.
Don't you think that what they're pushing back against really is the future?
And they're afraid
of what might be coming, and they want to just stop the train and stay right where we are, or better yet, go backwards to a time that's more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, they're reversing the 50s, a lot of the changes that took place from the 50s.
They're trying, and there is, you know, people. People are used to calling people on the right conservative, but they're not conservative at all. They're retrogressive. They don't want to keep things the way they are. They actually want to go backwards, and that's retrogressive. Mm-hmm. If anybody's the true conservative out there, it's today's liberals who kind of want to keep things the way they are. Well, I think the Gen Z...
They're not happy with that either.
They're not satisfied with that either. They actually look to the future and they want to go ahead.
Right.
And that's what our society needs.
Now, I've had arguments with them. You know,
of course.
You know, and they don't agree with a lot of liberal, more progressive attitudes that I have, my thoughts. And they want bigger changes than that. They want better changes than that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Mike McCabe, thanks for being with us.
Yep.
And again, if people want to find out more what you're up to, Substack?
Yeah, mikemccabe.substack.com. It's a journal called Abion House.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday live here at Short Stack Eatery. That's going to do it for John and Gordy for this day. We'll talk to you bright and early tomorrow morning.
All right.
6 a.m. Have a wonderful day. So long.
All right. Take care, everybody.
John. It's the John Gordy Show.